J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
You mentioned before we started talking about your days coming to perform in St. Louis. You got a very good reception back in the 60s. This was, I'm just guessing if my chronology is right, the days when you were performing the monologue about the moose?
That's right. Those were the days. I was a stand-up comic. I enjoyed doing that. And the Crystal Palace was one of the great avant-garde nightclubs at the time. There was the Hungry Eye in San Francisco and the Blue Angel in New York. Kelly's in Chicago, and the Crystal Palace was the fourth one of that group. And it was wonderful to be there. You know, I loved the experience playing there. I got to stay in St. Louis, you know, for a month and play. And, you know, you played with these wonderful acts. I had followed Lenny Bruce in there. He had been there just before me. And it was a terrific experience. It was this wonderful avant-garde cultural enclave right there in St. Louis.
We are coming up on the 20th anniversary of the release of Annie Hall. A lot of people watch movies, they enjoy them. This movie has been studied. As you I remember the opening monologue of Annie Hall was, you talked about having just turned 40. Here we all are, nearly 20 years later. What things come to mind when you think about the release of this movie?
At the time, I didn't think it was going to be as accepted as it was. I thought it would be, you know, another movie of mine. I hoped that it would be a success, as I do with all of them. Some are, some aren't. But, I mean, I had no, you know, it's not even my favorite movie that I've made. I mean, I'm delighted at its success. I won't say I'm not. But it was unexpected, and I think I've made other movies that I think are better than it, and, you know, have also done pretty well. But that one had a kind of inexplicable charisma at the time for people. And I say inexplicable because, you know, I don't think it's a bad movie. I'm not saying that. I think it was a good movie. But it tapped into something, you know, that people just emotionally got with.
Well, I'm afraid you peeked into a lot of people's brains because this was more reflective of chapters of many people's lives, much more so than I think you think. Congratulations on Everyone Says I Love You. Best of luck. Nice to meet you, Woody.
Thank you very much.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Every once in a while, I have the urge to play the sound effect of the Schnucks Panic Aisle opening just to make you think there's a blizzard. Make you think there's a blizzard coming that you haven't heard about. But I wouldn't do that to you, would I? At least not yet. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com, Tuesday, February 8th, 2022, 275 days remaining in our American system of democratic government as we have known it. So the U.S. didn't win any Olympic gold medals yesterday or in the first 4 days of the Winter Olympics. The ratings are down. What's the deal? Well, actually, this is not an historically low or slow level of gold medals. The record for us is the first 9 days without a gold. It happened in 1936 when our two-man bobsled team finally snagged one. And it was our only gold that year, but there were fewer events back then. More recently, we got 7 days without a gold medal in 1988 and 4 days in 1998. So it's not that weird. God, I wish I cared. I haven't really been watching any of the Olympics, and I don't know why. I only know that I'm in good company because, again, as I just mentioned, and as we talked about yesterday, the ratings are down, and this is with a captive audience. You know, the weather is shit in a lot of places around the country, so people are sort of, you know, trapped in their homes, and they're still not watching. And it also doesn't look like we're going to be watching any baseball anytime soon. Pitchers and catchers were to have reported to Jupiter, Florida for the Cardinals here in a couple of days. That's not going to happen. And the two sides are way far apart from what we heard. The Players Association has said, no, we don't like this idea of bringing in a federal mediator. And so the two sides, I don't even think they have any plans for any more talks, at least not at this stage of the game. I don't know if this has ever happened before. I guess I got to double check this. I'm sure somebody knows, but I'm not sure that the Super Bowl and the Olympics have happened together. I'm just like to be NBC, and you pay 800 billion gazillion trillion dollars for the rights to broadcast the Olympics, and then the Super Bowl is going to be on all day Sunday and Sunday night. Whoops! Some of the commercials are starting to leak out. This morning I watched one with Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost. They're doing one for Amazon Alexa. Let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, it's very clever, by the way. It's very clever and very entertaining. It's one of those long-ass commercials that you really only see during the Super Bowl, where instead of commercials being 10 seconds or 30 seconds or 60 seconds, you know, I've seen Super Bowl commercials that run, what, 3-4 minutes? This one with them, I believe, is a 2-minute spot. But I think that some of the people who are producing these things are missing something here. And that is, and I'll explain it. I was watching this commercial for the first time today, and it was just me and the cell phone, and I watched it. And I had to go back and watch it again because some of those jokes went by a little too fast. Well, now that commercial is going to run during the Super Bowl, where people are distracted, running in, you know, from the bathroom. You know, you got Super Bowl parties going on. There's, you know, 50 people all talking and laughing all at the same time. I know that when directors are making movies, and there is it's like a romantic comedy or something like that, and there's one really, really killer line that they know is going to get a big, big laugh in the theater, like, you know, I'll have what she's having from when Harry Met Sally. And the director will leave a little bit. They'll hold that scene for an extra 2 or 3 seconds because they know in the theater, when the movie plays for an actual audience, that they're going to be laughing. And you don't want to cut to the next thing because it'll be obliterated by the audience and their response. Oh, and here I go again, pretending like I care enough about this. But everybody gets swept up in this whole Super Bowl thing. Oh, you know, it's between that and the Olympics. If you like that stuff that Leslie Jones has been doing with the live tweeting, they might not be doing that anymore. I guess she got her panties in a knot because somebody at NBC blocked one of her videos. She's doing them for the network. And somebody at NBC said, I don't know what's wrong. There was a third-party error who was responsible for wiping your stuff off the internet. Now, some company was really, really smart. They would do a Super Bowl commercial with Whoopi Goldberg, and she could just sit there and go, well, you know, they've taken me off the air from my show, but nobody said I couldn't show up here and have her hold a can of beer or something. I don't know. I'm an idea guy. There's another Super Bowl commercial with Pete Davidson and a commercial for Hellman's Mayonnaise, and also the return of Dr. Evil. And yesterday, Foo Fighters announced that they have partnered with MetaQuest to do a free concert after the Super Bowl. It'll be available to watch in 180-degree VR using an Oculus headset or in 2D on Facebook Live. What the hell is VR and an Oculus headset? I need to have more kids or something so I can keep up with technology. Speaking of Pete Davidson, he casually referred to Kim Kardashian in an interview yesterday as his girlfriend. It just keeps getting weirder and weirder, huh? Oh, by the way, did you see the Olympians who show up and then get COVID and have to be put in quarantine over there in China are not liking the accommodations when they get stuck in quarantine? And they showed last night on the news, somebody who was in quarantine showed a tray of food that got delivered to their little room. And I guess it's a real little room. And I've seen TV dinners from the 1960s that looked more appetizing than this. And also they're making them wear something that looks like a hazmat suit. Yeah, it's fun going without that mask, wasn't it? Anyhow, Michaela Schifrin, who wiped out the other day, is going to be racing in the women's slalom today. Or she's already done it like a day and a half ago and we'll finally see it tonight. This time change has me completely goofed up. I don't even know what day it is here anymore, trying to keep track of all this. Do we have anything that is non-Olympic or non-Joe Rogan? Oh, you know, Spotify paid the $100 million for Joe Rogan's podcast, and now there's some question as to whether or not Joe Rogan is going to survive this whole scandal or series of scandals where there's a right-wing platform, I'm not going to mention the name of it, they've offered him $100 million to leave Spotify for their platform. Meanwhile, Pandora, being sued by several major comedians for allegedly neglecting to obtain the proper copyrights to stream their work. Tonight, 7 o'clock on ABC, you got the Jeopardy! National College Championship. Mayim Bialik hosts as 15 universities compete for 2 weeks to earn a grand prize of $100,000 each. What is avocado toast? That's correct. You have the board. In addition to not being able to spell, the people on local television crack me up because I've seen this so many times. So, well, there's going to be a new biopic about Ringo Starr. You're like, really? What's a biopic? You wouldn't mean biopic, would you? Oh, yeah. Anyhow, there's two of them in the works, Michael Jackson and Anna Nicole Smith. Speaking of Ringo Starr and his all-star band, they announced they're going out on tour. Also, Nine Inch Nails, The Who, and a Monkees tribute by Mickey Dolenz. He's the only one left. They got a teaser out on the internet for the final season of Better Call Saul. Neil Young, here's Spotify. Neil Young urging Spotify employees to quit before the company, and here's his quote, eats up their souls. End quote. Birthdays today. That chick, that surfer who survived the shark attack, she's doing everything left-handed these days. Bethany Hamilton, 32. Cecily Strong, oddly attractive. Saturday Night Live, 38 today. Stephanie Courtney, who you know as Flo from the Progressive Insurance commercials, is 52. Vince Neil, Motley Crue, 61. John Grisham, the firm, the client, the rainmaker, the chamber, the Pelican Brief, he's 67 today. Mary Steenburgen, 69. Nick Nolte, 81. Ted Koppel, 82. And John Williams, the composer from Star Wars, Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, E.T., Close Encounters, Jaws, Superman, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List. I don't have time to keep on going. 52 Academy Award nominations. He's won 5 times. He's also won 25 Grammys, 3 Emmys, and 4 Golden Globes. Slacker. 32 years ago today, 1990, Del Shannon. That song Runaway is so cool that it was a big hit for him. And then Bonnie Raitt covered it. Tremendous, tremendous cover of Runaway from Bonnie Raitt. And then Tom Petty is singing Running Down a Dream, and he mentions the song in his lyrics. That's a pretty cool song in my book, but it still resulted in Del shooting himself in the head. He's only 55. That was 32 years ago today. And Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro, Jodie Foster, was released on this date, 1976.
I would really appreciate it if you would wish my husband, Keith, a happy Valentine's Day and tell him I love him. He never used to be the romantic type until just a few weeks ago. Lately, I found chocolates on my pillow, love notes in my car, in my purse, and on the mirrors. He calls me just to say I love you. And the last 2 Fridays, he's shown up at my work with flowers. He has turned into the most romantic person. He has made me very happy, and I love him. Thanks. Kara, we all read this, and we've come to one conclusion. Your husband is having an affair, okay? We just wanted to point that out, but thanks for listening.
The human heart is the most important, the most emotional organ in your body. It's where all your love and your romance is kept.
What you trying to do to my heart?
Barely hear my heart beating.
Still getting bills from Christmas, and we all got to go out and buy Valentine's Day shit. And again, everything's all bunched up here. You got the Olympics, and you got the Super Bowl, and the day after the Super Bowl is Valentine's Day. Now, who is going to start drinking at 6 a.m. on Sunday for a game that starts at 5:30, and then you're going to drink throughout the entire game and stuff your face, scream your vocal cords bloody during the game, then go home and you got to get up for work the next day, which just happens to be Valentine's Day, and your significant other is going to be sitting there looking at you like, well, what are we doing? What did you get me? Oh, man, I just need some rest. Can we just put this off a day or two? Go ahead and laugh. This is big trouble. This is big trouble this weekend. I guess what you could do is you could have Valentine's Day on Friday or Saturday. Maybe that's a better idea. I know that there are people running around trying to make the day after the Super Bowl some sort of official holiday because, you know, the game doesn't end until 9 o'clock. And then tomorrow is, as we say, a school day, a work day for adults. So it's actually, I think it's a kid in Florida who is spearheading this attempt to try to get Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, designated as some sort of official holiday. Well, instead of that, move the Super Bowl to Saturday? Duh. Anyhow, back to Valentine's Day here. People were asked to name the top signs of a happy marriage. See if you agree with the top 10. Number one, spending lots of quality time together. Two, taking care of each other when you're sick. Three, feeling like you can be yourself with them. Translated, I can fart. Number four, encouraging them to pursue their own hobbies and interests. Translated, will you get out of the house for a few hours? Number five, you let them see you at your best and worst. Translated, you're getting fat. Number six, cuddling. Number seven, being respectful to them in front of other people. Number eight, making regular plans together, as opposed to what? Making irregular plans. Number nine, being proud of their achievements. Number 10, being silly with each other. And then a couple that made into the top 20, sharing a sense of humor, trying new things together, translated, anal, splitting chores and responsibilities evenly, and remembering important occasions like Valentine's Day. Here's a guy in Port St. Lucie, Florida, home of the New York Mets spring training camp, and he didn't want to wait until Valentine's Day or the Super Bowl or anything like that. He needed some entertainment right now. He's 38 years old. Bradley Whitesoul was at a bar in Port St. Lucie on Florida, and then he left after midnight, but he couldn't find his car. So he did about the only logical thing a person can do in a situation like this. He stole somebody else's car so he could drive around and look for his. The night was really just getting started, though. He ended up stopping the stolen car on a set of train tracks. He claims it died on him, which just, I don't know, why does that seem unlikely? The car then ended up getting hit by a train while this guy was running away, and the train flung the car into the side of a nearby house. Luckily, the people were asleep inside. They were not injured. Bradley then found a nearby fruit stand after that, vandalized it for some reason, and then tried to steal a forklift he found, but someone had called the cops by that point. When they showed up, Bradford tried to flag them down like he was in trouble, but he told them he needed help finding his car. But then he explained everything else he'd been up to that night. So guess what? In a clear case of police brutality, they arrested him and threw him in jail. He's facing a bunch of charges. Imagine that, including counts for grand theft auto and criminal mischief. Here's a naked man who pulled a fire alarm at a high-rise apartment in Tampa on Sunday and then sprayed people with a fire extinguisher as they were evacuating. Speaking of naked, our ancient ancestors did everything naked. The Olympics used to take place. The athletes were all naked. Now they can't be naked until they go back to the dorms and have wild sex parties with Olympians who are at the absolute peak of physical capability. But you can't go around naked now. I think it was Henny Youngman who said, I think the whole world should go naked. It would promote peace and understanding. When's the last time you saw two naked people fighting? Good morning, everybody. But let's just say you could go naked. You could do anything you wanted naked. What kinds of things should you not do? What sort of things should you avoid? For example, frying things in oil, going down a metal slide on a hot summer day, going to a funeral, jury duty, or to be knighted by the queen, riding a public bus, doing jumping jacks, and beekeeping. You can't get vital information to elements that represent your everyday activity. You can't get that information everywhere. You're getting it here. How about this guy, Charlottesville, Virginia? You talk about dumb luck. What's his name? Jalen Taylor decided to buy over 250 lottery tickets. And every single ticket he bought was a winner. Back in November, he bought 104 pick three tickets for a single drawing and used the same three numbers on every ticket, 9, 6, and 0. and those numbers hit the $500 jackpot, so he won it 104 times for a total of $52,000. But this part's even crazier. Last month, he decided to go for it again. He bought 160 tickets with the numbers 542 and then won a second time. He walked with 80 grand that time for a total of $132,000. He says he just had a feeling about those two sets of numbers, so he went all in. Somebody with the United States government should hire this guy and put him in some sort of computer high-tech job, because obviously he figured out some way to hack the lottery system website. There's luck, and then there's luck, and then there's cheating. A woman in Canada found a naked, he's another naked guy. We got this is a, you know, it's Valentine's Day coming up. So people are running wild in the streets naked. A woman in Canada found a naked guy hanging out in the trunk of her car last week. It turned out he'd been in there for 3 days. She's driving around for 3 days, doesn't know there's a naked guy in her trunk. I love this next line of the story. It turned out the guy has issues. Yeah, you think? And he'd been out drinking. He thought somebody was chasing him, so he climbed into her trunk, and he'd been there for 3 days. Luckily, he didn't freeze to death, and the cops say he's getting some help right now. We don't really do politics on the podcast unless it is completely unavoidable, and it is today with regard to this thing involving Vladimir Putin. People are just trying to figure out, what's he going to do? What are you doing? He's got like 130,000 troops on the border of Ukraine. So now yesterday he meets with the president or prime minister, whatever they have in France. Like, well, there might be some wiggle room here. Maybe there can be some more negotiation. And let's put another 20,000 troops on the line. What's going on? I guess things are slowing just a little bit because apparently the boys in the Kremlin are like, Vladimir, you're the big boss, man. We understand that. By the way, here's a shirt. Can you just put this on for this meeting? And, you know, there's some reality here that we're not really 100% sure that you have. You thought this all the way through? Meanwhile, the CDC is under a lot of pressure to back off on the mask mandates and on the vaccination mandates, saying, hey, look at the numbers. They're coming way down. We've been through this before where the numbers were coming way down. And everybody's like, "Whee, let's have a party." And Fauci is sitting there going, Christ. This is like leaving a Cardinal game in the seventh inning because the Redbirds are up 8-0. And by the time you get in the car, they're down 10-8. And I don't like wearing a mask, and I don't like getting shots. I don't like it either, but it's necessary. And the science is there, but you can't convince a lot of people of that. I tell you what I can convince people of, and that is that Mother Nature, who's always portrayed as some very nice old grandmotherly lady in a flowery dress and an apron, sunshine and clouds, and oh, look at Mother Nature. Mother Nature has been trying to wipe us off the planet since day one. Ever hear of cholera, typhoid, malaria, not to mention predators, polio, rubella, typhoid? Yeah, go on outside and get a nice, healthy tan. I'm sorry, what's that again? Melanoma? AIDS? The flu? Even before the coronavirus got here, you know, hundreds of thousands of people die from the flu in this country every year. SARS? Ebola? I could be wrong, but I'm getting the distinct impression Mother Nature doesn't fucking like us very much. She's like, oh, I used to have these beautiful green fields with border collies just prancing around and sunflowers and everything like that, and you paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Thank you, Joni. We have this beautiful planet, and we're just ruining it, and Mother Nature's like, okay, I didn't really plan to do this, but if you're going to fuck with me, I'm going to fuck with you back. And I think I have a little more clout. Let me introduce you to the coronavirus. Oh, and by the way, when you get over that, we're going to do this global warming thing where there won't be any food and our coastal cities are going to be underwater. Have a nice day, Mother Nature.
The sun kisses the morning skies. The birds kiss the butterflies.
It's just a kiss away. It's just a kiss away.
All came right. rushing back to me like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist.
So what? It's romantic. That's the important thing. You know, the only thing I think you have to tell somebody on the first date is if you have severe psychological problems to the point where you're dangerous. It's only polite to point that out. That's why I think on a first date, the man and woman should have a dinner table. They should meet up at a card table. They meet up at a card table, write down all their little emotional problems on little playing cards, take turns being honest, slapping them down. The guy goes first. He goes, hello, my name's Tom. It's nice to meet you. I'm a Scorpio. She goes, hello, my name is Sally. I'm a psycho. All right, my dad used to lock me in the closet when I was 6. My dad came out of the closet when I was 5. Well, I'm self-centered and obsessed with my physical appearance. I'm from Los Angeles as well. Nice chair now. Well, I can't have an orgasm unless I'm on top. I can't have an orgasm unless I'm on crack. Well, I have an imaginary friend named Bosco. You know Bosco? All right, look, I'm neurotic. I need to see other people. I'm schizophrenic. I am other people. What a great crowd. Thank you very much.
The great Richard Jenny right there as we get closer and closer to Valentine's Day or the Super Bowl, depending on your priorities, of course. That does it for us today. The J.C. Corcoran podcast is in the can for Tuesday, February 8th, 2022, 275 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We only do politics when it's absolutely unavoidable. Please help keep us in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. Continue to spread the word. Let people know that we are here every weekday morning at 7 o'clock approximately. It's absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. We archive them all and you can binge if you want. Email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We'll kick into our Super Bowl pregame festivities. I think if you go to the network right now, they've started the Super Bowl pregame. Oh, you know what they say, you can't get started too early. Anyhow, we'll kick it into high gear tomorrow as we get closer and closer to the big game. So, in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.